My name is David J. Harris, Jr. Join me and millions of Americans around the country as we embrace liberty and freedom. This is the David J. Harris, Jr. Show.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, friends and family from around the country and literally around the world. This is another episode with your host, David J. Harris, Jr. And today, friends, I have the honor and the privilege of having a young man on the show with me today that I think can speak right to the heart of so many issues that are currently plaguing our country. Born in Iran, he's migrated to this country. His parents migrated to this country. He understands from what the Ayatollah did. He understands the dangers of communism, the dangers of socialism. He's got a very interesting take on that. Yet he's a man that stands boldly for faith. He is a UFC mixed martial arts fighter, one of the best out there right now. He is rising up the ranks, and it is my honor to bring up Beniel Dariush, my brother. How are you doing today?
Wow, what an intro. Praise God, man. I mean, young man, I haven't heard that in a while. I got so many gray hairs. I don't get called young no more.
Well, it's probably because you're definitely a lot younger than I am. I think you're, what, 31, somewhere in there?
32
years old. I remember those days, baby. I remember those days, but like they were yesterday, but it seems like a long time ago. But you are a man. You are a fighter. You are a very vicious fighter, but you're very classy. That's one thing I love and respect about you, brother. I had the honor of interviewing the Iceman, Chuck Liddell, and I always appreciate that about him as well. He was always very classy, and we need that, especially in today's society, just period, as men, and both inside and outside the ring. You are a class act, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I think confidence should be quiet and humble. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, if you know you can back it up, you don't have to talk about it. Although the way that Conor McGregor talks, I think it's good for the sport.
It's gotten the sport, it's pushed the sport further, and it pushed him very far. It got a lot done for him, but the problem with that is it always comes back to bite you. And you're seeing that now. Conor, I feel like he believed his own hype and he believed all the things he was saying. And it's coming back. It's coming back. And it's like, hey, buddy, you haven't been doing the same amount of training everybody else is doing. You're a man. You're no different. If you don't train just like you're supposed to, like everybody else is training, 2 days when there's no fight, 2 days when no one's looking, you know, doing all the things when no one's looking, it's going to catch up to you. And I think we're seeing that. I mean, the fight he had previous to this, he at least won the first round. This fight, he couldn't even win the first round. So it's not looking good.
No, I agree with you as well. It's interesting. You know, pride comes before a fall. We've heard, and it's been written. And unfortunately, I think that the pride in who he believed he was, the idea of who he believed he was, it's showing up when he actually gets into the ring. Since we're on the topic of Conor and his last fight, I was there actually ringside. Great friend Adam Weitzman invited me to be there. Do you think that his foot was broken? That bone was broken before he went in the ring. I didn't think they'd let somebody get into a ring if he actually had a break or fracture of any kind. Because he's obviously going to be using that leg.
It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible because you don't have to notify the athletic commission. I don't know if I should be telling you here, but I fought one time with a broken chest or the rib right where my chest is. It was broken. And I just said, listen, if we go to the doctor, the doctor is going to tell us something we don't want to hear. And then we have two options, notify the UFC or don't notify the UFC. So I said, you know what? I don't even want to go to a doctor. I don't even want to know about it. And we'll just get the fight done and figure it out after. So you can do that, but then you could possibly get in trouble later. So I'm a little bit safer because I didn't even know it was broken. I just said, I'm okay. So I checked after the fight. So it's definitely possible. But like, it's not an excuse for losing. It's just, that's life.
Multiple yeah.
Life, man.
And that is your weight class, right? If the cards go right and you keep winning, you're on a 7-fight win streak right now. I think 21 wins overall. That's your weight class. You could be competing for that belt.
That is my weight class. I was actually hoping to get the next title shot. I'm number 3 right now. Nobody in the top 5 has a win streak like I do. So I just thought it would make sense for me to get that fight. But I guess not. I guess Dustin's getting it. But you never know. Something might change. I might still get the title shot. If not, we'll get somebody else, and then we'll go for the title.
Well, I'm rooting for you, my brother. I know it's in the cards for you in the future. You've got what it takes. You're passionate. And you recently, one of your latest fights, I think this was your latest fight, you literally broke the internet by being bold as a lion to actually champion your faith and what you believe. So I'm going to play the clip for those that haven't seen it.
I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's number 1. Hey, calm down. Calm down. Number 2, I want to dedicate this fight to all the people who've been hurt by Marxist ideologies. There are millions of you, and I know it. And it's just a fight. I know it's not much, but I want you to know that I love you, and I understand the pain.
You love them, and you understand the pain. Let's talk about that, because Cuba is absolutely in an uproar right now. The people of Cuba are marching in the streets by the tens of thousands. From some of the videos I've seen, we see the police there that are literally shooting at people, beating them up. They're arresting them. What can you speak to the freedoms that the Cuban people are wanting and are not getting in Cuba?
You know, I think I would say majority of America is with you, and I would say a large majority. Our yes. hearts go out to you, and we want freedom. We want freedom. I want freedom for everybody, even people I don't like. You know, it's it's so sad, because Cuba is supposed to be a jewel. It's supposed to be one of the best places to go and see. And whoever lives there is supposed to be truly blessed. But it's not like that. Why? Because of this ideology. It's a godless ideology, and it just destroys everything.
So let's speak to that for a little bit. I think you said you were born in Iran. You're a Syrian, which is a small group. You're sharing with me a small group in Iran, about 500,000 or so, that have Christian faith. And when the Ayatollah came in, talk about what took place when the Ayatollah came in and into a mostly free area for you and your family and what you went through.
So it used to be, there used to be a Shah, which is a king, and he used to run Iran. And then there was a revolution. The people thought, like, this isn't the way to do it. So they bring in the Ayatollah. The Ayatollah promised a lot of free things, kind of like socialism, this Marxist ideology. And so with that being said, things change. They come in and they say, hey, like, Assyrians, you guys can stay. As Armenians as well, actually, the two small minorities that are Christian there, they said, hey, you guys can stay Christian. We won't force you to change your religion, but you can't share the gospel, which is completely opposite of what a Christian is supposed to be. So it was a little tricky, but you know, Assyrians are still there, and the churches are still there. So I was blessed enough to grow up in the church, even though in the beginning I wasn't a Christian. I was able to grow up in the church, which was a great thing for me.
Well, and I think it's so needed for people to have faith and a belief in an acknowledgement of a higher power. A lot of people just stop there. You and I know that it goes a little farther than that, but I think it's so important for people to understand that there's a higher power, especially above government, because otherwise that's exactly what these socialist, communist, really just Marxist ideologies want people to believe, is to honor, respect, and adore the government and the government only. And we see it now happening in our own country. I think during the pandemic, we're still in it. They've been initiating all these different orders, mask orders, churches locked down. Gavin Newsom saying you can't sing in church. What do you think about when you see these kind of mandates coming from politicians here in America where you love and appreciate this country. What does that make you think of when you see and hear these kind of mandates coming down from politicians?
I mean, there's a lot. The first thing that comes to my mind is the book of Daniel, where Shadrach, Meshach, and
One bad Negro.
Yeah.
Abednego, yeah.
They're supposed to bow down to a statue of the king, and they're just like, no, thank you. That's my wife back there. Yeah, I don't know why she's back there, but she's back there.
Anyway, all good.
It's the first thing that comes to my mind. It says, listen, there's only one God you're going to worship, and that's the government. That's number one. And then number two, it's a clear message to everybody who doesn't think the government should be in complete control. It says, hey, I think especially for anybody who's religious, not just Christian, of any religion, it says, hey, listen, that's not the way we do things anymore. We're in charge, and we're the number one power, and you're going to look at us as an idol. And I think that's terrifying personally, and especially coming from a country who did that already. And then my wife, who's Vietnamese, came from a Marxist country, or her family came from a Marxist country. They ran away. Her dad got on a boat where 9 out of 10 boats didn't make it. And then her mom left maybe a day before they were going to be put in prison. So it's a scary time, man. It definitely is. But I'm just grateful. You could see the majority still doesn't want this. But a lot of them are silent. And so the opposite side is just gaining ground, because a lot of us are silent, and I just don't want to be silent.
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head for me too, brother. My first book, I'm working on my second one right now, but it's called Why I Couldn't Stay Silent. And it's because of that very fact. So many people just refuse to speak up and speak out about the issues that matter, or just feel like, well, that's okay if they do this, or just not get involved. What's your message to people that are sitting on the sideline watching what's taking place in our country, our freedoms that seem to be slowly just being sifted away from us, that actually do have faith or do believe in this beautiful country and idea that is America? What's your message to them?
Actually, the shirt I'm wearing, this is my student shirt. His name is David Chow, right? David Chow, his father is also from Vietnam. And so David's father will tell you a story where the communists, who were basically Marxists, came in and they said, we're going to start doing certain things. And he didn't want any of that stuff, and he just stayed quiet. And he stayed quiet and just had hoped things would get better eventually. And unfortunately, he ended up in jail for 10 years. He was in jail for so long because of the communist regime that when they came to him at the 10-year mark and they looked at him and they asked, what are you here for? And he said, I don't know. What am I here for? And they didn't even know. So they let him out. And that's why he took America. That might not happen to you or me in this generation, but it could definitely happen to our kids. And that's a terrifying thought to me.
Yeah, that's extremely terrifying. And just one example of, unfortunately, millions of individuals that have been silenced or jailed or worse for not complying with government when that government's a Marxist communist government. So you shared your wife is from Vietnam. How long have you guys been married, brother?
We've been married over a year. She's over there. She's laughing at me because it looks like I got a lazy eye right now. I don't. I got punched in the eye yesterday, so that's one thing. But yeah, we've been married over a year, and we have a baby now. We have tomorrow she's going to be 6-week-old daughter. Her name is
Wow. Alva. What's her name?
Alva.
Alva, that's so beautiful. I've got two daughters. I saw your pictures of your daughter on your social media. So adorable. Congratulations to you on that newborn, and congratulations on, you're still newlyweds in my book. My wife and I have been married 27 years. So to go back to our first year is like, wow, that's a long time ago. But I still remember it's still a newlywed phase and everything's peaches and roses, right?
Yeah. I don't know about that. It's her birthday this weekend actually, and she's like, so what do we do for my birthday? I'm like, I don't know. We'll sit down, do nothing, stay at home. And he gave me a look like, are you insane? I was like, oh, I'm kidding. We'll go to Catalina or something. Just chill out. So it's I feel like I'm trying to push it into that next stage. She's like, no. We're staying in this honeymoon stage for as long as we can. We didn't even get a honeymoon because of the pandemic.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So a year ago, it was right in the middle of the pandemic then.
Praise God, man. We got married in February because in March, the same place we got married got shut down. Everything got shut down. And my whole family was like, why are you getting married in February? It's cold outside. Wait till summertime, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, listen, I'm trying to have as many babies and as fast as I can. So until the end of the year or summer or whatever it is you guys are looking for. We're getting married in February. And, you know, come April, I was like, I told you so.
That worked out. That was Papa that was trying to help make sure you guys got married. Exactly. And didn't wind up stuck. I've got friends actually that were supposed to travel and get married, and they had to postpone it. One good friend of mine and my wife's, she finally did get married, very small wedding, but she was supposed to go to somewhere in another country, Ireland, I believe, and it didn't work out. So congratulations at least on that. Thanks. And congratulations on your little baby. How has that changed your life, having a little baby? Especially a little baby girl.
The babies, yeah, man. I was scared to have a boy. I was like, man, I don't think I'm ready for a boy. I have two nieces. They're incredible. And I've learned to work with them. I know when to push, when to pull. And I don't know how to do that with a boy yet. So I'm going to need more practice. And it's the best, man. It's I don't sleep much. So the whole not sleeping thing hasn't been a big deal. But like, during the day, I'll pick her up and I won't feel tired, and I'll sit down on the couch, and all of a sudden I just took the best nap of my life. And it's, I don't have that normally. So I can't explain it. Every time I hold her, there's this peace. So it's been really good. I always tell anybody I meet, cause they're always like, oh, is it hard? Is it difficult? I was like, man, there is nothing difficult about it, because all of the difficult things that you think are difficult, you will walk through fire for this child. So why do you think that's going to be difficult? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's one of the things I always talk about. Like, people are like, oh, having kids is hard. I'm like, nah, I think not having kids is harder. So,
well, it definitely gives you perspective as well. So now that once you have a little being of your own, you know, a little child that's yours, that you'll do anything for, what does it make you feel about, you know, the belief that is pushing into our school systems that wants to then teach minority children, children with more melanin in their skin than other children, to judge others based on their skin tone? What is that, you know, CRT I'm talking about, obviously, critical race theory. What does that make you feel as a father that this ideology is trying to permeate our school system?